Today on The Grave Talks, investigating the dead with one of the founders of Apex Paranormal, Elijah Buchholz. Apex Paranormal is based in the Kansas City area, and they offer a unique perspective to each investigation. Their team consists of licensed mental health professionals with a passion for the paranormal. They approach investigations with the intent of debunking or disproving activity, and they'll label it as paranormal if no plausible explanation is discovered. They've investigated all over the country. And in this episode, more about the home in Atchison, Kansas, as well as the Villisca Axe Murder House and some very haunted locations in Kansas City. I'm Carol Hughes, and on this episode of The Grave Talks, we'll talk about investigating the dead with Elijah Buchholz of Apex Paranormal. Now, Elijah, in the last episode, we were talking about a house in Atchison, Kansas, and you feel like things were brought into the house by irresponsible investigators. Have you run into anything like that before?
We've seen that before. There's the Villisca Axe Murder House up in Iowa. And the story goes there were two parents and five children were brutally murdered with an axe while they slept. And there's a lot of people that think that the kids and the parents are still there, or maybe the killer still. And we don't think any of them are still there. We think something was brought in by irresponsible investigating.
And that house has been investigated by so many teams.
It's booked, you know, five nights a week, year round. It's very popular. There's people coming and going. You have no idea what they're doing in there. I know that they find things, candles and Ouija boards, and, you know, find stuff that's left in the house. So who knows? But out of everywhere we have ever gone across this nation, that is the one place that we feel confident saying there is something evil there. Do not go. We will not go back there. It's not I hate even talking about it and saying that, because then it piques people's interest and they're like, oh, I want to go and see the demon. It's no, you don't. It's not I'm going to go there and run my mouth and something's going to throw me across the room and I got a crazy story to tell my friends. It's a different experience. It messes with you psychologically. It messes with you emotionally. And it's not worth it at all.
And, you know, I think anybody who goes into any location that has some paranormal activity, taunting it and trying to make fun of it or something just to get some kind of response is so dangerous.
It is. And, you know, people have, you can have a lot of fun doing this. We do public events where folks can come in and ghost hunt alongside us, and it's a blast, and we do it respectfully. And, but it really can be dangerous. And I know that sounds silly to say. It's not physically dangerous, if that makes sense. Nothing, a monster is not going to jump out of the closet and try to stab you with a knife. That's not the kind of thing we're talking about, but it can have real heavy impacts psychologically and emotionally. And it's not worth it. It's not worth it.
No.
They've been messing with us for years now, and doesn't matter what we do, we haven't been able to shake it so far. And it's just not worth it.
Even just hearing that Get Out that you played totally creeped me out.
Yeah.
That totally creeped me out. So let's go into something a little bit lighter, because you were just talking about doing, you know, group hunts where people can join you and you guys have a blast. And do you have some locations that you regularly go to?
We do. We have three locations in the Kansas City area. So the majority of what we do as a team is we film the show. We really film it for ourselves because we have so much fun doing it and being able to travel, and it's just a blast. The other side of what we do is we like to work with local historic locations around the Kansas City area and raise money for them and bring awareness to the locations. what we have found is the majority of the public is not really interested in history. I'll be honest, I'm right there with them. Before I started doing this, I really didn't care about history. I was terrible at history class. It was just not something interesting to me. But you put this paranormal spin on it, and that really draws people in.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about the ghosts and the spirits, and they want to come and experience the ghost. But hey, while they're there, guess what? They want to learn the history, and they want to know about the location, and they want to get involved with the locations. And so what we found is we put this paranormal kind of spin on a place, and it raises a lot of money. One location we worked with, it's what kept their doors open through the whole COVID period, was the ability to do paranormal things. It really helps keep the doors open on some amazing historical locations that otherwise, you know, people may have no interest in.
And restoration. I mean, when you're yes. dealing with an old property, there's constant need. Now tell me, okay, so the Dillingham Lewis House, that's in Blue Springs, Missouri, which is pretty much in Kansas City. It's considered a suburb, but it's all pretty connected. But
yeah, it is.
It is. So is that one of the places that you regularly go with groups?
It is. It is. In October, matter of fact, coming up this October, we will be doing stuff there every Friday and Saturday night throughout the whole month. Dillingham Lewis House, and then actually right next door is an old Wild West Hotel. Very small building. You know, it's got, I don't know, six rooms in it. It's called the Chicago Alton Hotel. And when we do events there, we do both buildings at the same time. And these places are, history's cool, but the spirits are amazing. And what I love about these, here's what's, if we go to, you know, Waverly Hills Sanitarium, one of the most well-known haunted places in the country,
uh-huh.
they can tell you who the spirits are. They can tell you where they are. They can tell you how to get them to interact. They can tell you what equipment works where. I mean, you get to know a place and you learn a place and you get to, you know the patterns and you know all the things. Dillingham Lewis and the Chicago Alton Hotel, every single time that we have been there, something different happens. There's no pattern to it. There's no rhyme or reason. There's no... It's always something different. When we did ghost events there last October, every tour group, you know, we might run three groups through there on a Friday, three groups from a Saturday. Every tour group had experiences, and every one of those experiences were different. I have never seen this anywhere in my life. It is so fascinating. We're not even sure what to do with it. Like, how do you learn a place when it's constantly changing and different? It's just... show up and experience it, you know?
And with it being a part of it, a hotel, it makes you think there was so many people in and out of there constantly. Maybe that's part of what you're dealing with. They're not the same ones.
Yeah, there's got to be. There's got to be. And that hotel actually served the Chicago Alton Hotel. It's named that way because it served the Chicago Alton Railway that ran through town, had a big stop there. So people would come off the trains and stay in that hotel overnight, catch the next train the next day. And it's just, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. You know, we had one weekend, we had a door that kept slamming shut. It's never happened again since. The next weekend, we had this really loud pounding coming from one of the upstairs rooms. It's never happened since. There's just no kind of pattern or rhyme or reason to the place.
Now, do you think that there might be some of the same spirits? Because at the Dillingham Lewis House, I was reading about Morgan and Melvina. And then there was another woman, the Lewis in that. What was her first name? Nara Lewis, yeah. And she sounds like a really fun person. And through big parties and... claim to know presidents and things. And I thought, if there would be anybody sticking around to haunt a place, it sounds like it would be someone like her.
she's a character. She is really a character. I think there have been times that she has been seen, that Nara has been seen and heard there. But again, it's not consistent and the activity is not consistent, even in the house. What's great about this place too is most of the haunted places you go to have this, you know, real tragic history. Mm-hmm. I kind of told you about the axe murder house or Harris Carney home that we also work with in Kansas City. It's an old Civil War era house. It was around the Civil War battles, Battle of Westport in Kansas City, and had a lot of soldiers pass away in it. So there's this tragedy that you can kind of tie into. Okay, I see why it's haunted. There's no tragedy. Nobody died in the house. Nobody died in the hotel as far as we were able to tell. It has a very peaceful, loving kind of home vibe to it. But damn, it's haunted.
Maybe maybe it has something to do with the train that used to go through. So maybe there's this ghost train that keeps going through and dropping off passengers and picking up passengers. So it's constantly kind of changing.
I think you might be hitting on something. So I'll tell you, when we do our events, we talk a lot about kind of what the magic formula of a haunting is. What we have found over our years of doing this is there's one or more combination of factors. One is limestone. So limestone is said to be a conductor of energy. It absorbs energy. It puts out energy. But everywhere, if you think about this, it'll make sense. Dillingham Lewis is built out of native limestone. Missouri State Penitentiary made out of limestone. Waverly Hills has limestone. You think about all the big haunted places that you know of, they all have limestone involved. Mm-hmm. The second factor is moving water.
I've heard that.
Whether it's a creek, a river, waterfalls, sometimes there are underground springs. There is some type of moving water that's close by. And the theory behind that, again, is that moving water is constantly creating energy and that spirits are able to feed off that energy and thus manifest themselves. The third one, people don't usually think about this, but is actually trains. And so research has been done into this, but trains, you have metal wheels going over metal rails, and that metal on metal creates friction, creates electromagnetic energy. And it is theorized that spirits are made up of and use and put off electromagnetic energy. And I'll be damned if everywhere we go, there is not a train in the vicinity. We were just, man, I can't remember where we were. Just a couple months ago, we were somewhere and I pointed out to the team, hey, there's no trains around here. Why is this place haunted? About 10, 30 minutes later, we hear a train off in the distance heading our way.
You know, I lived in a house here and I would hear trains frequently. And I remember laying in bed going, I don't even know where the train tracks are that I could be hearing this. It's like everywhere you go, I swear you hear, there's a train whistle somewhere in the distance.
They'll tell you every haunted place that we've has at bare minimum one, if not all three of those factors to it.
And then if you get all three of them together, like that probably has limestone. If it's in Blue Springs, there's water not too far away, I'm going to guess, or underneath.
Yep.
And then there's the train. So you have the trifecta there.
You have the trifecta. It is built of native limestone to the area. Blue Springs is called Blue Springs because there's natural springs that run under the whole town, but they definitely run under those locations. And then there's actually, if you stand on the front porch, you could spit and hit a train track.
Wow. Then there's the other place that in Kansas City that you had mentioned, the Harris Carney House. That's in Westport in Midtown Kansas City. And it's now a museum.
It is. So the Harris Carney House, we just recently started working with. It's actually one of only four Civil War era homes still standing in the Kansas City area. So it's got a super rich history to it. It overlooks Westport, where the Battle of Westport, big Civil War battle, took place. And it actually took in, was served as kind of a field hospital during the Civil War. So We've investigated there a couple times over the years. Last fall is when we first really started working with them and doing events and fundraising for them. And it's an amazing location. It's, again, one of those, it's got history. It's got a semi-tragic history to it, but it's not a, you know, a whole family was murdered by a serial axe killer type of history, but it's also insanely active. And it has the limestone. It has a river not too far away, and it has train tracks not too far
away. Another trifecta.
Another trifecta, yeah, exactly.
I heard that the house was built by slaves. I don't know if that's true because, you know, Kansas was a free state. So I didn't know if that was true or not. If it was, I mean, there would be some definite darkness, you know, the way people were treated. Even if they were free men, they still weren't treated well by any means.
It was. So the Harris-Kearney house is actually on the Missouri side of the state line, and the Missouri side was
oh, pretty. Oh, yeah.
So Kansas was a free state. Missouri right. was kind of split down the middle. So it was built by enslaved folks that were owned by the Harris family.
So when you think about that, I mean, that's pretty dark. And
yeah.
some of that energy could be still there as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, it is still fairly new to us, so we haven't quite figured out the spirits or the pattern or the haunting or what have you. But we have had some incredible experiences there.
So what has happened?
We've had everything from disembodied voices. We've heard a female yelling out to shadow figures walking across the building. It's kind of a T shape. It's two stories and it's a T shape where the front of the house is like the top of the T, if that gives you a visual.
Okay.
And it runs kind of long ways off of that.
That's interesting.
And we've had shadow figures that walk all the way down that long ways portion of the house. We have not seen, but the workers have seen somebody walking up the outside steps and going in and out of the house. And we've also had some great equipment interaction. We had a whole conversation with what we call the Estes method.
What is that?
Well, what the Estes method is, you know, you have these spirit boxes, these radios that go, and they fast forward through the radio station so fast that it creates this white noise. Now, if I'm just using this and I say, you know, is there a spirit here with me? My brain is anticipating the box saying yes. And so you may get this, and then we interpret that as saying yes. It's very easy to misinterpret things. So what the Estes method does is try to take that variable out. So you take somebody, you put them in one room of the house, you put a blindfold on them so they're kind of sensory deprived. And then you take earbuds and you plug those into the spirit box. And so all that person can hear is just the spirit box. Then you take everybody else, you put them somewhere else in the building and you have them ask questions. The person that's blindfolded with the spirit will just yell out. When they hear something come through, they'll just yell it out. And then we compare, is what they're yelling matching up to the questions that we're asking?
I don't think I could handle being the person blindfolded and doing that.
It's rough.
Very intense.
It's rough. It is. Yeah, it's intense for sure. But at the Harris-Kearney house, we did an event there last October. Matter of fact, it was the weekend before Halloween. And we were doing this Estes method. And we had one person upstairs on one side of the house. Everybody else was on the first floor on the opposite side of the house asking questions and had a real-time, full-on conversation with a child, I'll have to ask, but I believe he identified himself as Philip. And, I mean, it was just like, boom, 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 boom. We'd ask a question, he'd answer it. There's no way possible for that person to hear what the questions are, and there's no way possible for us to hear what's coming through the spirit box.
That would be crazy.
It was pretty cool.
When you go out and do these investigations, especially in the Kansas City area, like the Harris Carney House or the, is it pretty much just October where you open it up to people joining you, or are there some other opportunities throughout the year?
Yes and no. it depends on our film schedule. Right. So this year was a little more intense with filming. We did some events in January. We won't be able to do anything again until August, because February through July is when we've been doing all of our filming for this season. But we're done in July, so we'll have events in August. September, we're indulging. My partner I talked about, Ed, is really big into cryptids, like Bigfoot. And so we're going to indulge Ed, and we're going to film an episode around the Missouri Bigfoot.
Momo.
Yep. That was impressive. Yeah.
Thank you.
So we're going to film an episode around Bigfoot, and to just keep Ed happy.
Good. It's always good.
That's always good. And then in September, we'll be doing that episode. And then October, every Friday and Saturday, we're actually going to work with four different locations this year. So we're going to have a busy, busy schedule.
And you can find that on the website, on your Apex Paranormal website?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. The website is theapexparanormal.com. So T-H-E, theapexparanormal.com. You can also just Google Apex Paranormal, and you'll be able to find all of our social media, the websites, the YouTube where you can find the show. Everything should pull up.
And I want to ask you this. So, we don't have to tell your partner to listen to this, but do you think Momo is a thing? Do you think Momo exists? Are you just doing this to be like a roll in your eyes the whole time? Or are you like, I think there could be Momo?
I will be rolling my eyes the whole time. Okay. So I tell you, and I tell him this too, we're indulging him. I went out with him once. What does he call it? A squatch hunt or squatching. And it was about the goofiest thing I've ever done in my life. And I do a lot of goofy stuff. So it's not for me. We went with the BFRO. I'm not exactly sure. Bigfoot Research Organization, something like that. The BFRO guys took us out squatching, and it was silly.
I don't know. Squatching would be the right word for Momo. Momoing? I don't know.
Momoing. We'll go with that.
You can tell your partner that. Oh, great. We have to go momoing now.
We're going momoing. Yep, that would be great.
This has been such an interesting conversation. Just thank you so much for chatting with me tonight. It has been so great.
I really appreciate your invite to be on here. I've had a blast chatting with you. Thank you so much.
And that wraps up our conversation about investigating the dead with Elijah Buchholz of Apex Paranormal. For more information on tours and paranormal investigations, go to spiritsofbluesprings.com. And for more information on Apex Paranormal, visit theapexparanormal.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and you can try it 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there, also ad-free. From all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Carol Hughes. Thank you for listening.